your home of pre-recorded previews of preseason sports, Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I am Eric.
I'm Aaron.
You are doing well.
Thanks.
Yeah. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
It has been a full week.
Yeah. We're in this mode of, we have to record early in the week.
But it's still, yeah, it's still a week apart. Yeah. It seems like about, was it last Tuesday? And it is Tuesday, August something or other. 5th, 6th, yeah, I don't know.
6th, good job.
It's a Tuesday. I know it had a Tuesday feel, absolutely, from bright and shiny this morning till probably the end of this night. It's been a great sports week.
Has it?
I mean, it's the Olympics.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and then I kind of fell asleep.
that's a ringing.
But with the options you have, and what I have for streaming service.
Sure.
You know, they have Olympic channels, a couple of them.
Yeah.
But they play whatever's like live at that moment.
Sure.
I think it was, Germany and China playing against each other in badminton or something. I don't know what it was. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, I bet I watched that. I can watch pretty much. I've come to the realization through this that I can really watch any sport. I can pick a side. I can root for a story. I can pretend that I could be that athlete doing that sport. And
sure.
So the Olympics are, and the streaming service I have, there happens to be a couple of networks, and there's two channels that just do encore.
Sure.
So yeah, I have been able to watch handball. Nope. I've learned so much about.
I watched
floor
the
hockey.
Canoe slalom the other
Oosh,
night.
That
was actually watching that going, because they have to slalom. It's not only are you battling against the water, you're battling against other people.
Yes.
And you have to go around these pylons that are dangling in the air and go, you have to make a full circle around it. But if somebody else comes up to it and bumps you, it's legal.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's. I got a little fascinated by that.
Full contact.
Just because I canoe.
Full contact. I want to try that next time I'm on the Kickapoo. Just decide we're racing for real.
Except substitute the word canoe for kayak.
That, well, I'm not. Yes, canoe races would involve me just tipping over, and that would be such a fast.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Olympics have been really, really good. Like I said, watching floor hockey. We played it in gym in high school, in middle school.
Right.
It's the same sport, but man, they're way better at it. Than you could ever hope to be, and I am fascinated by the time spent. Like you're committing a lot of time to a sport that is a fringe sport, but once every few years, you're gonna be, winning a medal, getting a chance to compete in front of the whole world. Also, we're awesome at basketball. Still,
yeah.
I mean, it's real easy to follow.
Wasn't there some controversy in the 3-on-3 stuff? Did you hear that? Did you catch that or not?
I didn't catch.
There was some stuff, some rules that like eliminated one of the teams.
Huh.
And I think it was an American team. But it was like meant not to have professional NBA players in this 3-on-3.
Yeah, Jimmer Fredette was the former NBA player and one of the great college scorers of all time is on the men's 3-on-3. Yep.
I might be wrong.
I don't know the ins and outs of the rule books or who can and can't for the. I mean, in theory, they're amateur athletes, but I was watching the gymnastics. Man,
they're not amateur by any means.
I mean, there might not be a gymnastics league, but they are all well compensated athletes at that level. Man, that stuff's fun to watch too because all of them they come down the men's 100 meter.
Yeah.
Was super, super dramatic. And for a 10-second race, it was about as much drama as you could put in.
Is that the one that, like 0.05?
Yeah.
A tenth
an amount
of a second?
That you could keep slowing it down, and you could barely tell that Lyles is his last name. Yeah. Won by, and he kind of stumbled out of the block and then, made up. It's only a few feet,
right.
But it's 10 seconds. It's to, 100 meters. It's super, super fun. That's really good sport to watch.
By a nose, literally.
An actual literal nose. Yeah. He leaned just at the right time and then won. U.S. men's basketball.
Yep.
And women's basketball are the two most dominant franchises, I guess you could say, in Olympic sport. And the men are looking at, this would be their fifth consecutive gold medal after being embarrassed in 2004 and losing and only winning bronze.
Sure.
They haven't lost a game. They have been just dominant in
came
Olympic.
Close.
They've come very close. They've won every game in this Olympics by an average of 30 points. They've It's LeBron James. It's Kevin Durant who set the all-time...
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards coming off the bench and being able to do absolutely anything on the right. court against, you know, other supremely great athletes. Right. Once again, Anthony Edwards looks like an athlete better than all athletes on the court. LeBron James looks just phenomenal at 39 years old, sure. playing a ton of minutes. And Kevin Durant set the all-time U.S. scoring record for the Olympics.
He played
in the last one. He had to score five to go ahead of Lisa Leslie, who is one of the best women's sure. players of all time. And they're going to be playing. Canada got upset by France, so it's France, the U.S., it's Serbia, and it's, I want to say, Germany are the last four teams left, and all of them all start almost entirely NBA rosters.
Okay.
Serbia is mostly Nikola Jokic, but also he's the best player in the world. France has the Defensive Player of the Year in Rudy Gobert, and it's got Victor Wembanyama
yes.
playing at the same time. Watching them is really, it's like I said, international basketball is interesting. The lane is smaller. The rules are slightly
different.
Yeah, the
three-point line is way shorter, I think, too.
Yep. You see a little bit different of a game. It feels more like a college game.
Sure.
And France is just phenomenal to watch. They are just bigger and faster. And Victor Wembanyama is just phenomenal. He's
sure.
7'4" and runs around like he's 6'4" and can do everything on the court. That was really fun.
Okay.
Also in non-Olympic sports, guess what came back on ESPN this last weekend?
The Ocho.
It did. It did. Did you catch it? Did you
I watched a little bit, just kind of flipping through, and I saw the Ocho 8 or ESPN 8. I'm like, that's the Ocho.
Yes, it is.
What is it? What are they playing? I don't even remember what they were playing. It was something that was just so axe throwing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I caught that.
But the fascinating thing about those is just like the Olympics, is that the commentators, there's always one expert.
Correct.
Well, he seems to be throwing the knife with considerable, you know, accuracy with the one leg out and, you know, all these details. You go, what?
Yeah, yes, it
you
is.
You know, so it was knife throwing. I had no idea. Somebody won, somebody lost.
Yeah, we got to watch, I hooked my entire household on it this last weekend. It was, the wife rolled her eyes, but then she was also watching.
Yeah.
By the end, she was fascinated by the slippery stairs. Competition, which is exactly like it sounds. They send there's a kids division and they're all and an adult division.
Yeah,
sir, you and I could compete. There's stairs. They're like three stories high. They cover them with soap and water, and then people throw dodgeballs at you, and then you go up the stairs. And most all the time, and the other competitors, just like you were talking about in the kayaking, hitting, totally legal to grab that guy by the ankle and pull him down, but he will also try to pull you down with him. The matches ranged in from like taking about 10 seconds. Somebody just plowed right forward and somehow managed to not slip and fall. And the other ones, I watched little kids take 12 minutes to kick. They couldn't get up the thing. It was great. People throwing dodgeballs at them, but it went from slippery stairs. And then we went to the dodgeball championships, which was disappointing. I thought I would have seen better athletes at the dodgeball.
Yeah, but you have visions of dodgeball,
the actual show, the actual movie Dodgeball
in your head, thinking it's all that.
That's why the Ocho exists. I think they would have done better. And then I got to watch robot fights.
Oh, yes.
The robot fights are pretty not athletic at all, not a sport, not technically even a little bit. These are engineers built amazing robots.
There's actually a series on TV
yes.
that I've watched mm-hmm. those actually, because that stuff kind of fascinates me.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
me
they
too.
Have a big saw blade running on a robot that runs in circles and. You see them, they had tossed in the middle of the air.
The one that won had just a rocket-propelled flamethrower out the front of it and just blasted fire at the thing in front of it. And
did they have, like, all the obstacles around the course, too, like the saw blades coming out of the ground and the floor?
It was a whole league. It was a whole...
Well, some serious stuff there.
The Ocho is, for anybody who likes to watch entertaining, just because it's barely a sport, but it's super entertaining.
Right.
And it's not... There's nothing political about it. There's nothing like pro sports can be. No, this is just pure entertainment and people
There's no money involved.
No money at all. People really enjoying spending their weekends, building slippery stairs and building robots and chucking dodgeballs at their buddies.
For that?
Which one?
Any of it.
I mean, dodgeball, there are leagues. You could join.
You could
go to the jump park and join a dodgeball.
That movie
league.
Really sparked a lot of stuff.
It really did. So. Yep. You could do kickball or dodgeball now as an adult and not. not nearly as embarrassing as it would have been otherwise. Robot League, I feel like you got to just know a
Well, I'm assuming you just kind of engineer the heck out of it
and then play it around,
start hitting it with a hammer and stuff and make sure it lasts,
and then find somebody else who wants to compete against you and it's
on from
there.
The stairs, slippery stairs. How do you, I mean, do you just, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to spray down my stairs with soap and water and I want you to hit me.
I need you to, I need you to throw this ball at me. I'm going to, don't worry about the tarp. No, I'm getting a lot of soap. Yeah, that's, that's what we're doing. Because otherwise, you just have to bring that out into the like the stairs at the courthouse or something. You're just like, you just commandeer them.
I think that would be frowned upon.
For an hour or two, you just find somebody with really nice stairs. And
or do you practice in the winter?
Well, that could be it, too. That's a good call. That's a good call. No, I mean, let's
try for it. Don't ice the sidewalk, please.
I mean, all these sports that I was watching, there was other, like, there was pillow fighting championships. There's,
I've seen that.
That is, that I've would hurt. That. I feel like that would hurt more than they're letting on. I don't know.
More like bruising your ego kind of hurt?
Kind of, yeah. But
to go down as in a pillow.
I saw leg wrestling. I saw leg wrestling. Which,
Indian leg wrestling?
Norwegian style, I believe it is. It's I've always considered it to be Norwegian. It's where you lay two people laying.
Yeah, the leg goes up.
Hip to hip. Yeah. You lock legs.
Technically, that
them.
Would be Indian. That was Indian leg wrestling.
I've only done it against Norwegians.
That you've done it at all.
It's a bar thing, and it's definitely a Norwegian thing. So I didn't know, but I watched it on TV. That every time it comes on, it seems like it's listening to everyone when I just keep saying they should show that all the time. They're getting closer. It seems like about once every couple months. Eventually, it'll just be a channel.
Yeah.
And, movie will come. It is full circle. The
tells you how much not really going on other than maybe the NFL and Olympics right now.
Well, that's true too. Because once the football season starts, once your team starts playing preseason games that matter, I won't watch a lot of ESPN Ocho either.
Right.
Yeah, no. ESPN also will show you about 12 different NFL shows throughout the course of their week.
Yep.
Coaches' corners, playbook stuff. Fantasy football show or three, college stuff, and everything else. So, yeah, this is that really nice sweet spot for things that aren't quite sports.
Okay. What do you got next?
Actual sports?
Yeah, if you're up to you. I mean, we've already spent 12 minutes talking about non-sports.
Yeah. You're welcome. I mean, we can definitely do a few minutes about the Brewers.
Okay, how are they doing?
Well, you're not going to believe this. 62-49.
Yeah.
13 games over 500. They're still six games up in the division. Nobody else is. I think the Pirates and the Cardinals are sitting a game over 500. If the Brewers were in the NL West, they'd be in third or fourth place. There's three teams sitting with a record equal to or better than the Brewers. They really missed the chance in the last, since the trade deadline or the week around it and the weeks after it, to actually make a dent and show themselves to be something more than the team that's just going to win a bad division by default, because they're 4-6 in their last 10. They are just about the same over their last 20 and 30 and 40 games. Since they were 10 games over 500 to start the year, they were like 15-5.
Sure.
They've pretty much been a 500 team.
Okay.
They're arrow pointing in the right direction. Garrett Mitchell. Garrett Mitchell was a rookie draft pick, 2018, 19 ago.
Okay.
He's been a good hitter, but also hurt. Hurt himself in big injuries and weird injuries over his career. Okay. He hurt himself in rehabbing injuries. He's played in like 80 games over 3 years.
Mm.
He's, but he's got tons of talent. He looks like a guy who could be a 300 hitter. Looks like a guy who should be playing in right field for the next 10 years.
Sure.
And over the last 20 or 30 games, he's hitting 300. He's getting the regular start in left field because the Brewers just don't have the reason is because he was supposed to be a starter this entire year.
Sure.
He was penciled in to be a starter at the beginning of the preseason or the spring training stuff and got hurt in spring training. So he really hasn't seen the field much, but he's supposed to be a starter and he's supposed to look good. And he's you'd think he would be a guy that get them to win some games, but Jackson Churio's playing like a rookie of the year. Like, he's a 20-year-old phenom, and he's starting to put up numbers that look like that. He's going to hit around, by the end of the year, he'll have 20 home runs. He'll be hitting around 260, 270. Plays defense about as well as any center fielder's going to, especially at 20 years old. He's so fast. He's got don't know. I watched Olympics. He's got track speed. He's got just this, you know, like football player in the open field, you know, Jalen Waddle type of breakaway NF Tyreek Hill type of speed that just all of a sudden he's just gone. And in baseball, you can only use that in so many ways.
Sure.
But he's starting to see how to do that.
Okay.
And Willy Adames, he's still going to hit right around 250, but he's going to have himself right around 25 to 30 home runs again. Hitting 240 or 250 is better by about 50 points than he's been in the last couple of years. He is playing, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Willy Adames is playing himself into a giant pile of money. Probably not going to be from the Brewers. Absolutely not going to be from the Brewers. They have never had a history of paying a guy $30 million a year. But starting shortstops that hit 25 home runs a year and are clubhouse guys and play defense get, you know, 8-year, $220 million contracts.
Okay.
The Brewers would not be paying that, but he's playing really well. That has made them, like I said, it's kept them going because Bryce Terang and Willem Contreras and even Joey Ortiz, who started out, those are all 300 hitters through most of the season, are really leveling out to be, you know, somewhere between 280 and 250 as hitters. So, you know, they're kind of, they're coming back to the mean, we'll say. Like, the guys who have excelled beating expectations, like Colin Ray, Tobias Myers, they are, yeah, you know, I'm trying to name other pitchers who have been, but they've had 14 starting pitchers this year. They have started literally anybody who's got an arm that can go more than two innings has started for the Brewers, whether they were in AA or AAA.
Sure.
So, you know, they're at, what are we at, 120? Got about 50 games left.
Okay.
Two-thirds of the way through the Brewers' season. They're going to win their division. They're going to win 90 games. They're going to make the playoffs and have to play like an Arizona who was in the World Series last year. They're going to have to maybe have to play a Dodgers team to open up their playoff run. They don't have a roster that makes me think, a pitching staff that makes me really think they can win three out of five. But hey, they're going to win their division for what feels like the fifth or sixth year in a row. Well, you know, like it's hard to get down about that because as a Brewers fan, like I said, it's been, they've never won the World Series, but this is as good of a run as they've had over the last few years.
My Twinkies are doing better.
Yeah.
They are only 3.5 games behind the Guardians at
Cleveland.
This point.
Really? They're just reeling them in. Seems like week by week, they're shaving a half a game off of that.
I mean, I think, what's the guy? I'm looking at the player list. Byron Buxton has been hitting hard.
Nice.
Carlos Santana, that classic. He's been coming on strong.
He was the Brewers. He was the Brewers' first baseman at the end of the year last year, nearly at the end of his career. But he's
kind of making a resurgence.
Good.
I think he's got 15 home runs. He's
solid.
I think he's at 280. I think
that's a real hitter. Yeah.
I think
Brewers clearly.
Sorry. 243.
243. But I mean that's it. And nowadays in Major League Baseball, the days of guys hitting over 300 really have gone away.
Right.
Guys, 240 is like hitting 260 from a few years ago.
Sure.
Leading the league in hitting is going to be somewhere around a 315 to 320 average instead of about a 340 to 350. It's just there's a lot more swing real hard.
Yeah. So the Brewer twin.
We're there. We
could. It could happen again this year.
I feel like, again, we're going to be in the – they were both playoff teams last year, right? Yeah, we could have had, but like I said, the Brewers just refused to win a playoff series. I don't know what they've got against winning a playoff
series. I think
Minnesota
did.
They did. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
They just got walloped the next series.
But, hey, you gotta, they're in the playoffs, right? You got to make the tournament to win these things.
Okay.
So that's been –
baseball.
Like I said, that's baseball.
We gonna get into football for the next.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Please, Did you hear? We're back. Dun dun
maybe.
Dun dun.
Maybe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Did you watch that Chicago?
Zero of it.
It's like preseason.
But how? Did you watch?
I watched
catch
some of
any
it.
Bits and pieces.
They got can't. They got the game got called in the third quarter because of rain.
Ah.
So Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago got a win.
1-0.
Because of rain.
Hey, that's a win's a win. When they said Caleb Williams wasn't going to play, I instantly knew I wasn't going to. When the two players that I most wanted to see on the field weren't going to play in a meaningless preseason game, it became nothing more than a practice to me.
Right. The scrimmage.
It was a scrimmage, you know, and And, you know, I but so,
the,
yeah. I,
the biggest thing was the they had the new kickoff rule.
Oh, how'd that look?
A little different. You know, once the, when you kick the ball, nobody can move until it touches the ground or a player.
Okay.
So you don't have that full, as you know, because normally in the past, it's always been, as soon as you kick that ball, you know, the team, the defense now, all of a sudden just runs full bore.
They're within 10 to 15 yards of you as soon as you touch the ball.
Right. Now it's not. You know, they're within 10, 15 yards, but they don't have a full head of steam. And so I think we're going to see a lot more
returns.
And you're actually seeing some of these predominant, like, receivers, ones with great hands.
Sure.
Actually practicing kickoffs.
It's where, do you remember the days of, like, a Brian Mitchell running back kicks? Bigger. Sure. Running back, like running back size,
sure,
guys,
yep.
Running back, you know, getting these kickbacks, because instead of just being the fastest guy, you're going to have to break a tackle.
Sure, yep.
So you're almost assured that at some point after about getting to about the 20, 25-yard line,
yep,
you're going to have to break something.
Right.
Something, you know, you're not going to just be able to run past the first guy that misjudged where to,
right,
stand on a kickoff. And no, you're going to – so. But I'm interested.
The nice
in that
thing
too.
Is the returner has a full head of steam, which is different because a lot of times you see the kickoff, and it, especially, you know, the guys are right there on him.
Yep. He doesn't get up to full speed until about 10 yards. It takes a few yards, and now he's got that full head of steam.
Right.
So it's not going to cut back on. See, it may cut back on injuries too, because
it's supposed to, because it's not, you know, it's not all the one side of the team other than,
right, because neither team can move. The offensive team isn't sprinting towards these defensive players.
Right.
The defensive players have the same opportunity to meet to
right,
to hit the guy. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot more strategy, and I think during preseason you're just gonna see glimpses of some stuff.
Sure.
But I think like the special teams coordinator is gonna be going, okay, let's try this only during practice, and mm-hmm, nobody's looking. Because there's going to be certain things. They're going to figure it out.
Because I'd be interested to see how trick plays on returns are going to work now. Because do you remember, like, the Music City Miracle?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, like, a play like that on a kickoff where you're throwing a lateral across the field only works when the other team is sprinting fast past.
Sure.
You know, so there's going to be a different... A reverse really only works when the one team overcommits to running down one side.
Well,
so
it'll also be the lineup of the receiving teams, mm-hmm, guys. You know, there's going to be spacing. There's going to line up here, but then do a cross route, you know, stuff like that.
Is it going to be really useful to all of a sudden have your good blockers, your best linemen, your
it puts them more emphasis on this.
You know, it's, so that is interesting to me too, because it is, they always talk, you know, you'll hear coach speak talking. You know, it's three phases. They're all so important, but clearly special teams right up until this year has not been as important as offense or defense. Special teams has never won.
Yeah. Other than field goal.
I mean, yes, but that hardly feels like that feels like its own thing all by itself, right? Like that's, you get a kicker kicking ball, but yeah, this will change field position.
Sure.
I'm interested to see what a smart field position, what it does for the smart coaches. You're going to see some Jim Harbaugh is a, you know, the Harbaughs are special teams guys. You'd think that gives them some advantage in there somewhere.
Sure.
That'll be
the one thing I want to see this weekend. My Vikings are playing the Raiders, and it's actually televised.
Ooh, break it down.
So.
Give me.
And I'm not sure. They haven't said who is starting quarterback yet.
But you'd assume each of those guys, if they're really having a competition, you're going to see a quarter each out of those guys.
At least.
Right?
But the backup. I mean, like Jaren Hall, and
because that third and fourth quarterback is actually more competitive than your first.
You're not, more than likely they're not going to keep four quarterbacks.
No, they'll
on
keep
the
three. You need
so
three.
You almost want to play those two guys
all the time to figure
see,
it out.
Well, no, to give them some value.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because they own the rights to them.
Sure.
So if they want to trade them, they could trade them.
Sure. If you got to figure out if one of these guys is worth stashing on your practice squad too, like is Jaren Hall. Somebody who could be a backup at some point.
Well, I think the third will be on the practice squad.
Sure.
And he'll just keep the two.
There's the new rule, too, with the quarterback, where you can have an emergency quarterback, but he's not on your roster.
Right.
Yeah.
So that, I think that'll be more validity, because that way it leaves you another space for somebody else.
So I am intrigued at these rookie quarterbacks, because watching the Michigan guy, first-round picks, generally aren't super successful, but the coaches really form the game plan around making them look good
right,
and gaining them confidence.
Yeah.
So you're going to see, You're going to see your quarterbacks looking at, like, you know, trying to go 8 for 9 for 79 yards. They're nothing deep. Let's do it quick. Let's figure out. Let's get, you know, get positive reps.
Well,
they
want not only the positive reps, but you want that game time experience, that game speed experience is really what it is, you know. So, I don't know. I haven't seen – they haven't released who's starting yet on Saturday, so.
So, quarterback battle. You've got – what other battles are the Vikings looking? What is their
– I mean
– spots along – is there any spots open on the offensive line?
Not really. I mean, it's pretty much solidified at this point.
And wide receiver, you're looking at depth.
There might be a little bit there with Jordan Addison. He got charged with a misdemeanor, so he's probably going to be out for 3 games. So there's your number two. So
you still got KJ Osborne sitting around, or did you go?
He traded him.
All right. So there is some. I don't know who they drafted. I don't know if they drafted a wide receiver. I'm assuming they must have.
Brandon Powell's right now the presumed number three. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's number 4, 5, and 6 because they can't usually keep about 6.
And because, you know, like with the Packers, they needed all five wide receivers were on the field seeing time quite a bit. There was no dominant. I mean, they didn't have a Justin Jefferson. They never will. But
T.J. Hockenson is still out. He sounds like he's going to be out at least for several games in the regular
season.
So that leaves us with Robert Tonyan.
Hmm.
They grabbed a
former Pro Bowler for the Green Bay Packers.
Yep, they grabbed him, and then they have Munt. He's been on the team for a couple of years.
So
he's actually pretty decent. I mean, so there's some battles, but the ones I'm really looking at are going to be Jaden Daniels. He's playing. They officially announced he's playing in the preseason game.
Jaden Daniels,
Washington.
Oh, I thought you said you were playing the Raiders.
I know, but I'm going to watch.
Oh, in the whole preseason.
The ones I want to really see. So.
Jaden Daniels just a number two overall pick and a Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, he's got every attribute that you would just build a quarterback.
Want to see the wide receivers? Sounds like Chicago. What's his name? Munda, the one they picked up in the 9th.
Oh, yes.
Him. Sounds like he's actually going to be fielding kickoffs.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
He's number three behind DJ Moore and
Keenan
Allen. You know,
when you're a slot receiver, you traditionally are going to be on special teams, and also you're going to need a kickoff guy. Yeah.
So, some of the players with rookies I want to see.
Defensively, they've changed. So they didn't draft anybody super high where they're.
But they grabbed a lot of free agents and did some trades. So it's a completely different team. So I'm really interested to see how they're going to compete, especially with
it being is interesting in that their defense looks like it should go from a bottom third to a middle of the road defense.
Yeah,
their offense looks like it's going to go from a top third down to a middle of the road offense. For Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So. I'm not doing a lot of Washington Redskins preseason coverage. I can do some. We can, like I said, we could absolutely this time of year with a little research do.
By the way,
our 3 minutes left, something like
not
that.
Not even. We've got 15. Or got 20 seconds. I forgot to look at the clock.
Oh man, this is one great show. We're gonna talk preseason Packer football next time around. I'm sure we'll meet by then. Thanks everybody for doing this. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. See ya.